Let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll be looking at the entire chapter this evening. The title of the message, A Church That Gave, talking about that church in Corinth. For many years, charitable organizations and hospitals were receiving huge gifts from one anonymous donor. The gifts were in cashier's checks so that no one could trace the source. One gift alone totaled $30 million. In 1997, the identity of this donor was revealed. It came out in a lawsuit when the man's company was sold. They just couldn't believe that over $600 million could really be given away. But that's exactly what Charles Feeney, co-owner of Duty Free Shoppers, gave. He decided that he could live on $5 million, and so he gave the rest away. His lawyer said, Mr. Feeney doesn't own a house or a car. His watch costs about $15, and when he flies at the airport, he flies economy. Feeney died in 1923 at the age of 92. He had given $8 billion to charity. Maybe you've heard of James L. Kraft, head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. He gave about 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years. He said, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I've given to the Lord. Most people, the Bible tells us, want to sound a trumpet before they give. In Matthew 6:2, we read, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Well, we're in a section here in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9, that deal with the grace of giving. We had in chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, the examples of gracious giving, that is, the churches in Macedonia gave. And it says in verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord. They gave beyond their power, beyond what they had to give. They were willing to give. Paul's divine advice for giving is found in the rest of the chapter 8, verses 10 through 24. Verse 7 says, see that ye abound in this grace also. And so giving is a grace. It's something that is a charis. Is the word grace. We get charisma from it, or charismatic. It is a spiritual gift to be able to give. It is a grace. And then in chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, we'll see a church motivated for the ministry of giving. So that's the outline, the breakup of in chapters 8 and 9. So tonight, verses 1 through 15, the title, A Church That Gave. Let's read Paul's words in verse 1. And in verses 1 through 5, we'll see their desire to give. The church really wanted to be able to give. Paul says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. That is, ministering to the saints, that would be the saints in Jerusalem. They had been through a famine. They had been through some hardships, loss of jobs, persecution. And so they ministered in a spiritual way to these churches by sending Paul and other ministers to them, taking the gospel. And these churches, now that they're believers, they're sending back in a physical way to these churches. So Paul didn't have to persuade them to help others. Notice, as touching ministering to the saints. Ministering is helping others in need. It might be spiritual, it might be emotional. Here, in this case, it was financial. It was superfluous is the word here. The word means excessive, beyond measure. So he didn't really need to write to them, to this church. They already had the attitude that they wanted to give. So you say, well, why did he write? Well, it could be, first of all, to let them know that he was sending men to collect their offerings that they've been taking for over a year and to prepare them for that. Or it could be for those who needed to see their example. All the churches throughout history open the Bible and they read about the generosity of the church at Corinth. That's what we're doing tonight. They're an example to us as well. So I'm glad that it's here. Notice their hearts were prepared to give. in verse 2, let's begin with the first part of that verse. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. And Paul already knew the forwardness of their mind. The word forwardness there is a predisposition, a readiness of mind. They were already way ahead of him. I like to think about the kids who come in during vacation Bible school. We have a penny offering, and it's used for a specific purpose by the end of the week. And the kids get excited about bringing pennies because they weigh more than dollar bills. And so there's this scale at the front, and the boys are against the girls. And we've started selling bricks. I don't know how that got started, but $5 a brick. And so the kids are buying bricks. I remember last year, it seemed like, we ran out of bricks, so they were painting some gold ones in the parking lot. But that's the spirit that Corinth had. When can we give? Is that when's the next church ice cream social? But when's the next offering? You know, they just had this kind of a heart. Now, your decisions in life affect others. The church at Corinth, when we think of that church, we think of the 1 Corinthians and all the problems that they had. But here, they're an example of gracious giving. They were part of Achaia. Achaia is south of Macedonia on the Grecian peninsula there. And so Corinth is part of Achaia. And their giving had caused those in the north, in Macedonia, to give as well. And so the way that you give will affect other people. They were ready a year ago. That's when that they had started giving. And it just hadn't been collected yet or delivered. Well, others were challenged. At the end of verse 2, I left off this phrase, and your zeal hath provoked very many. The word provoke there means to excite. The zeal of the Corinthians had excited zeal or ignited zeal in others. The word zeal originated with the idea of temperature or heat. Then it took on the meaning of fervency, having fervor. And so they, by their giving, were provoking, exciting zeal in others. It had a positive effect on many others of the Christian community. And notice it said, your zeal hath provoked very many. Grace giving is contagious. It's often that way. You see someone give, the outpouring of love, of generosity for someone who's really in need. And we're often moved to do the same thing. We need to be zealous in our giving, excited in our giving. Paul, in speaking to the leaders at Miletus over in Acts chapter 20, he was on his way by ship. He decided to stop at Miletus and speak to the leaders of the churches in that area. He rehearsed the words of Jesus, and he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that's not just a nice, trite statement. We don't find it anywhere else in the Bible, but here Paul is saying that Jesus said that. I guess it's one of the things that we read about this morning. Many other things could Jesus have said, but this one was recorded in Scripture, and Paul is telling us what it was. And it's still true today. As nice as it is to be on the receiving end of someone's generosity and kindness, you'll find that giving brings far greater blessings than receiving. Notice in verses 3 through 5 now, the collection was announced. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain on this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, that is, prepared to give. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. That is, we would be embarrassed to say nothing about how much you would be embarrassed. Verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, they needed to be ready to give. We see the last words in verse 3, be ready. And the middle of verse 5, be ready. Now, Paul didn't want to send Titus and two others who were coming to collect the offerings that the Corinthians had been gathering. He didn't want them to come and the people just kind of be caught off guard. Well, I didn't have it. The Corinthians were ready. They had the right attitude. But sometimes it's just the logistics get in the way, and it appears that there is an unwillingness to give. Today it might be like telling people to come be ready to give to a specific missionary. Some people might say, well, I want to transfer some funds so that I can write the check for that. They might want to bring their checkbook. They want to hit the ATM on the way to church. But it's that kind of attitude. They were ready to give, but he wanted to make sure that they had it with them. Well, Paul wanted to make sure his boasting was legitimate. There's nothing like bragging about somebody and then they don't come through. I'm always, it's always funny to me when parents are telling what their children can do and they bring the child out and they want them to perform in front of grandparents or a big group and the child just clams up. You know, they're not going to do it. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to say that verse. I'm just not going to do it. By the way, the gift that was given last Sunday night in the love offering for the Resounding Praise Ministry team was $729. That's a great gift for them, and that just rejoiced my heart. Now, I don't go and say to a team, we're going to take a love offering, and you just better get ready because it's huge. Well, that's what Paul was doing. You know, he's letting them know, church at Corinth, they're really going to give. And so he's saying, I don't want to be I boasted in that, and I want you to make sure you come through. Well, the gift was a matter, it's a kind of an interesting word here, bounty. We get our word eulogy from the Greek word translated bounty. A eulogy is generally something where you say a good word. That's literally what it means. But it also means a blessing or a bountiful gift. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses a eulogia for barak. Barak is the Old Testament Hebrew word for blessing. Let me read the text, and you'll recognize this is when Jacob is coming to meet Esau, and he's bringing this generous gift, okay? Now, Genesis 33:11, take, I pray thee, my blessing. And in the Septuagint, that uses the Greek word here, eulogia or eulogy, that is brought to thee, because God had dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And so here's this gift that's given. So this word bounty can be a large gift, something graciously given, a blessing. Now, the end of verse 5, it says, as a small matter, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. So that would be the opposite. This would be something that they would have. They would say that they're greedy. They're not bountiful or large of heart in their giving. So it's not a gift that shows the selfishness of the giver. Now, we've talked to missionaries sometimes who tell us that care packages used to come from churches that they would open the boxes and there were just some worn-out clothes there, some items that people didn't want anymore. Well, we can't use them, but I'm sure the missionaries would appreciate them, and they'll send those kinds of boxes. Those are not sacrificial gifts. That just saves them a trip to the Goodwill or Salvation Army. So don't be as of covetousness. Don't be selfish in our giving. The church at Corinth, now as a summation of this section, wanted to give. They were predisposed to giving. They came through and they proved all that Paul said about them, that it was really true. They were generous in their giving. Secondly, they were blessed by giving, verses 6 through 11. Here, we get this idea of reaping what you sow. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The word sparingly there means with stinginess, holding back something. And bountifully, again, it's the same word that we saw in verse 5, this word eulogy, a generous gift, a blessing to the one who has sown a lot and he reaps a lot. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Don't you love it? It's been a long time since I've been to Dairy Queen and gotten a blizzard, but don't you like the way that they just hammer that thing down to make sure they fit as much as they can in the cup? That's what the idea here, shaken down, running over. That's the kind of blessing that God is going to give back. Now, there is what is in Scripture, and you probably heard before, the law of sowing and reaping. There are three points to that rule. You reap what you sow. If you're going to sow to the flesh, Galatians says, you will reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit life everlasting. So you reap what you sow. If you plant corn, you can expect to reap corn. The second rule is you reap after you sow. You don't get it before you plant it. You have to be patient like a farmer. You have to wait for it to be nourished by the rain. And so you wait for that seed to grow. The third principle is you reap more than you sow. And so don't be stingy as you sow the seed. Make sure, you know, I think corn seed right now on Amazon, generally $8.94 would be the one that I would choose. $8.94 for a packet. And you might say, well, that's an awful lot for corn seed. I think I'll just put a few of them in the ground. Do you know that when you plant, they recommend planting two seeds in each hole. You'll have to ask Brother Leon to let you know if that's the best way or not. But that's what I read. But one corn stalk from one seed can produce 800 kernels of corn. Well, that's pretty good. And if you were stingy with that seed and didn't trust the seed at the beginning of your planting season, you're going to wish that you'd planted more, because that corn is good to eat in the fall. I'm reminded of the hymn written by Grace Reese Atkins, hymn number 441 in our hymnal, "I Wish I Had Given Him More." And I think that's the way we're going to feel when we get to heaven. Well, I wish I had invested more in that missionary. I wish I had invested more in that ministry. I wish I had given him more when we see the Lord, because there is great power in the seed. So a farmer who has a good year, and he must often think, I wish I had planted more. Well, we come to verse 7. And verse 7 is a wonderful gift, a wonderful verse, because it gives us five rules to give by. It's a message in itself. Five principles of New Testament giving in one verse. So here are some truths in giving. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. First of all, giving is the privilege of every believer. Did you see the first two words? Every man. Giving is not just a grace that God says only the rich in the church will have this ministry that they can give. No, remember the widow with her two mites. She cast in all that she had. This is for not just a few, but for all believers. Children can learn to give. Teenagers can learn to give. Grandmothers and grandfathers can learn to give. Moms and dads. Every man. Giving is the privilege of every believer. Secondly, giving is to be thoughtful. We have that phrase, as he purposeth in his heart. That means that the pastor doesn't get up and say, I have good news and bad news. The good news is we have enough for the building program. The bad news is it's still in your wallets. Okay? It is not something coercive. It is not something that someone tells you, this is what you are supposed to give. It's between you and the Lord, as he purposeth in his heart. Now, as he purposes means it is a predetermined amount. You just don't give away everything and, oh, I'll have to move because I can't pay my mortgage this month. No, it's a predetermined amount as God has given and as you purpose in your own heart. Mool says, this is not a mechanical scale. It must be absolutely voluntary between the man and his Lord. giving is to be thoughtful. Third, we have that phrase, not grudgingly. So the third principle in giving, giving is to be done with the right spirit. The word grudgingly means reluctantly, with grief. It's not like the offering plate's coming and you're going, I can't let go of it, you know. Giving is not to be that way. These Corinthians, they were looking for opportunities to give. So it should never be reluctantly or with grief. Fourth, it is not of necessity. Giving is not to be forced, not an outward pressure or an inward pressure, not of guilt placed on you by others, and not of guilt that you bring on yourself. So it's not of necessity. And the last principle, but rather cheerfully. Giving is to be cheerful, out of delight. And this verse says, God loves the giver who gives cheerfully, who gives from his heart. So rules to give by, verse 7. Now we have rewards in giving in verses 8 and 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now the parenthetical statement continues in verse 10, but let's look at verses 8 and 9. Rewards in giving, that is God's grace abounding. Tasker says, generous giving for those who have little seems very hazardous, but the risk tends to be forgotten when the greatness of God's power is kept steadily in mind. The wonderful thing to be able to give what God lays on your heart and watch how he takes care of you. As they abounded in the grace of giving to others, there is a realization that God is the one who's able to make his grace abound to them. You don't lose when you invest in eternity. You might not get the dividends in this life. God is able to do that, but you don't give with that motive. What God does give is grace, all sufficiency in all things to abound in every good work. He is able to make his grace abound toward you, verse 8. Now, we also need to be cautious about the motivation of giving so that I'll get something in return. And I've heard this preached. You don't give to get. You give because you want to give. And God will take care of you. You'll have everything you need. Everything that you need to do the work that God wants you to do with your life in ministry. We talked about the words pressed down and running over in Luke 6:38. That doesn't mean if I give God a $5 bill, I'm going to get $10 back sometime during the week. I've heard it preached. It's not true. Sometimes the return isn't in the same form as the investment. Often it's a spiritual reward. It's an eternal reward, which is far greater. Well, verse 9 starts that parenthetical phrase that ends at the end of verse 10. As it is written. Here's a quote from Psalm 112, verse 9. Let me just go over there real quickly and read the context in the first three verses of Psalm 112. It's a psalm of praise. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, that is his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, when you come down to verse 9 in Psalm 112, it says, he hath dispersed, that is, this blessed man who has given already in verses 1 through 3, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. And so that's the quote in this New Testament passage in 2 Corinthians. The people would be familiar with that. In verses 10 and 11, we have a reminder that God is the one who supplies, and he's the one to be thanked. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us the thanksgiving to God. So, verse 10, God gave the seed for the purpose of being sown. He's the one who equips us with the ability, the resources to give. Everything we have is from the providential hand of God. He's given it to us. He will continue to supply bread for your food, verse 10. He's able to multiply the gift given, verse 10. And he is able to increase, notice, the righteousness that results from the gift. That's a wonderful promise. And as you give toward a specific ministry, God is able to multiply that in great righteousness. Ultimately, money is not the important thing. Righteousness is. Well, fifth, we are enriched to all bountifulness. And that's found in verse 11. That's not the same word as the bounty that we saw back in verse 5, the eulogy. But here, the bountifulness means simplicity. Singleness of heart, singleness of mind. And so we're rich to have that focused giving. And then also in verse 11, the result of that enrichment is thanksgiving to God at the very end of verse 11. So God received glory and thanks as the early Christians gave. And we have to ask the question, does our giving result in praise and in glory today? His grace is still abundant today to equip us for every good work. Well, the last point in verses 12 through 15, we'll go quickly. They accomplish great things through gracious giving. First of all, needs were met. That is, the needs of the saints in the famine in Jerusalem were met. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So giving was administered as a service. And Paul uses an interesting word here. He reminds that sacrificial ministry that belonged to the Old Testament priests is the same way as giving our sacrifice, like sacrificing something on the altar in the Old Testament tabernacle. Well, their gifts supplied the want or the lack of the saints. They could have made excuses why they shouldn't give, why they couldn't give. But instead, they look positively for ways that they could give. Warren Wiersbe says, grace never looks for a reason. It only looks for an opportunity. Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And notice their gift produced thanksgiving to God. That is, those who received thanked God for what was given. So the needs were met. Secondly, there was an abundance of giving and an abundance of thanksgiving. God was praised. Verse 13, whilst by the experiment, the word experiment there is a word that's translated trial in other passages, 2 Corinthians 8:2. And so by this trial of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So the trial sparked the giving, this experiment of ministration, this act of spiritual service. The result of the gift, the recipients, glorified God. The reason for their glory, for your professed subjection and to the gospel of Christ. That's the testimony of those who would bow the knee to the gospel, who would accept Christ, the gospel, the good news. And then for your liberal distribution to them and to all men. There's this ripple effect of giving. Others would be praising God for that. There is a natural response to pray for one another in verse 14. And by their prayer for you, the recipients prayed for the donors, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. So they had compassion on them because God's grace was seen in them in that they gave. And last, verse 15, attention was drawn to the marvelous, wonderful gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All this attention of giving and receiving comes back to remember what God gave to mankind, the gift of eternal life through his own dear Son. And our giving should remind us of God's gift of his own dear Son, and that always brings praise to him, gratitude to him, thanks to him for such a wonderful gift. So let's be motivated by God's grace so that we'll learn to give as he gave. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the church at Corinth who gave. They were willing, they were ready, and they've taught us so many different principles about giving that seem to have been forgotten in the modern church age. But I pray that we would be able to experience the grace to be able to give to those in need, to give to ministries around the world, and to give you praise as we look back and see what our investments will accomplish throughout all eternity. And so help us, Lord, to be givers. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.